good to have you here tonight. Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14, please, in your Bible. Joshua and chapter number 14 in the Word of God tonight. Joshua chapter number 14 in the Bible. And we're going to start reading with verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware in that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. And Lord, we pray that you'd take the Bible and you'd use it in our midst tonight. I pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit would help those who are here that aren't saved, that they may want to be justified, even as was sung about tonight. And Lord, that they'd want to be just as if they've never sinned before a holy God, and just as if they've always obeyed before a holy God. Lord, I pray that they would realize that can be done because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if we receive him as Savior, we can be justified. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'd do that tonight. And then, dear Lord, I pray you also speak to the hearts of us as Christians. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, six times the Bible says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Six times it says that. Numbers 14:24, 32:12, Deuteronomy 1:36, Joshua 14, and verse 8, and verse 9, and verse 14. That's six. Six times the Lord says that. You know, if there's one thing every pastor needs, it's some people that wholly follow the Lord. You know, your pastor needs people that wholly follow the Lord. You know, I mean, he can be wholly following the Lord, but boy, I tell you what, it's really, really difficult to pastor when you don't have people that are wholly following the Lord. Say, he needs some people that wholly follow the Lord. Every home needs a dad that wholly follows the Lord. You know, needs a wife, a mother that's wholly following the Lord. We need some teenagers, young people today who will wholly follow the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly, completely, totally follow the Lord. That's what we really need. You know, Joshua was a fellow that wholly followed the Lord. And I really believe that one of the reasons why is because he had a Caleb. You know, Caleb was one who encouraged him to wholly follow the Lord. Are you encouraging people to wholly follow the Lord? Or are you discouraging people from wholly follow the Lord? You know, Josh, remember how that he went to that River Jordan and you know, partly follow the Lord. He didn't just, you know, a little bit follow the Lord. I mean, he didn't go to that river and put his little toe in there. You know, that's like some of you. You put a little toe in there for God. You know, you're not going to see many miracles. You're not going to see much happen in your Christian life. You're not going to see much answers to prayer, much power in your life. No, you got to get both feet there in that Jordan River. And when Joshua wholly followed the Lord and he got both feet in the Jordan River, all of a sudden God worked a miracle. And I tell you something, they went across. Oh, I tell you something, God could work a lot more miracles in this church if we get some Joshuas who will wholly follow the Lord. If we get some Calebs who will wholly follow of the Lord. And not just a little bit. Not just one toe or four toes or five toes. Not just one foot, but both feet in for God. And I'll tell you something, God will work some wonderful miracles when that's so in our life. Now, I want you to see that the Bible says here that Caleb was a man also who followed the Lord. And that's who we're focusing on tonight primarily. But the Bible says that he says it himself. He wholly followed the Lord. You see that verse 8? Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Caleb said, I wholly follow the Lord. Now, you know what? He could be wrong, you know? I mean, says it of himself that he wholly follow the Lord, and that's good. You know, a lot of people can't even say that. They don't dare say it. They're scared to say it. They know it's not true, and it's a big lie. So, but Joshua, he says of himself, he wholly followed the Lord, but you know, Joshua could have been wrong. You know, he could have been wrong. He could have been deceived. You know, a lot of people are deceived. I'm living for God. Yeah, I'm living for God. But they're deceiving themselves. You know, they got sin in their life and they're just deceiving themselves, you know. And they're disobedient to the word of God, the clear, and yet they, I'm living for God. Caleb could have been doing that right here. See, he says, I'm wholly following the Lord. But then secondly, the Bible says that Moses said it of him in verse number 9. Moses, the man of God, he said this, and Moses sware the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Notice the inheritance was going to be for his children. Why? Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Say, you know, you get a dad's wholly following the Lord, it's pretty tough for the kids not to wholly follow the Lord. Boy, when a dad stops wholly following the Lord, you can just well figure it's going to be pretty hard for those kids to follow the Lord. But Caleb, he followed the Lord, and God says, I'm going to give the inheritance to his children because they're going to follow their daddy's example in wholly following the Lord. So Moses says it of him. Hey, will your pastor say one day when you stand before that justice seat of Christ, and he stands before the justice of Christ as the under-shepherd and gives an account of all the members of this church, will your pastor be able to say, yeah, that lady really wholly followed the Lord. Yeah, that man really wholly followed the Lord. That teenager, boy, they really wholly followed the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you something, you'll be really glad if your pastor can give a good report of you. Dear friend, this Bible says that Moses could stand up and say, yes, it's true. This man, Caleb, wholly followed the Lord. You see, he was a testimony to the fact that what Caleb said was true. But you know, even a good man of God like Moses could be deceived. Even a man of God can be wrong. You know, we can't look at the hearts of people. I can't look at the heart and say, you know what you're saying is true. You know, I was saying last night, you know, I don't know who's really saved. I don't, because I can't look at the heart. I can't look at their heart and say they're really saved. You know, you don't know I'm really saved because you can't look at my heart. I know I'm saved, you know. And if you're saved, you know it, but other people don't know it. Of course, that's why it's so important we live for the Lord. That's why it's so important that we live a godly life, so that our fruit coming from our life will give witness to the testimony that we really do have the Lord in our life. He really has worked a miracle on the inside. Say, and therefore it's coming out. And people can say, you know, with pretty much a confidence that, hey, that guy is really saved. Well, Moses here, you know, he can't look at the heart of Caleb. And so even though he's a great man of God, and he says that Caleb is wholly following the Lord, he could be wrong. But wait a minute. Oh, look who else says, he followed the Lord wholly. If you go to Numbers 14:24, I'm not going to go there, but if you went to Numbers 14:24, you know what? It says that God said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And folks, there's the real test. Amen. There's the real test. Will God one day say of you that you wholly follow the Lord? I mean, you can fool me. You can fool your pastor, you know. I mean, I can say that guy's really wholly following the Lord, you know. You can fool yourself saying, oh, I'm really wholly following the Lord. But you can't fool God Almighty. He knows whether you're wholly following the Lord, God of heaven. God says it. Hey, are you concerned about what God's going to say about you one day? Do you ever think about what God's going to say about you? God's going to say some things about you, you know. And you know, everything he says is going to be absolutely truth. Absolutely truth. Oh, folks, God said of this man, Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Could God say that about you tonight? That you are wholly following the Lord? Now, why could God say this about Caleb? I believe there are a number of reasons why God could say this about Caleb. First of all, God could say this about Caleb because of his stand. In Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says that Caleb, we're talking about him. I don't know if I said Joshua back there. I meant to say Caleb. But Caleb, the Bible says, was a man for 45 years. He had heard that God was going to take the people into the land of promise. For 45 years, he had heard that, and he's still standing on what he heard. He's still believing what he heard was the truth. You see, this man was a man who took his stand on the truth of the Word of God. If you're going to be one who wholly follows the Lord, you've got to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And you just got to keep standing there. No matter if your friends fall by the wayside. No matter if your wife or your husband falls by the wayside. No matter if your brother or your sister falls by the wayside. You've got to say, I'm going to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Now, why did Caleb stand the truth of the Word of God? Because he believed God's Word was truth. He believed that that was the truth. What God said was true. He believed that. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. God's word always has been truth, always is truth, always will be truth. All of God's word is truth. Infallible, inerrant, perfectly preserved. All of God's word is truth. Psalm 6 verse 12 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Psalm 19 and verse number 9, the judgments of the Lord are truth. Psalm 100 verse 5, his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 119 and verse 160, thy word is truth, O my friend, from the beginning. God says, thy word is truth from the beginning. There is nothing in the Bible that needs correction. No need to cut and paste, you computer people. No need to cut and paste scripture. No need to restore or recover scripture. Oh, thank God. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth when it speaks about chronology. The Word of God is truth when it speaks about history. The Word of God is truth when it speaks about numbers. The Word of God is truth when it speaks about science. The Word of God is truth when it speaks about doctrine. God's Word is truth. You don't have to go to some book of science to find truth. Thy Word is truth. You don't have to go to some professor in some school with all kinds of degrees after his name to find truth. Why? The Bible is truth. Jesus never once corrected the Bible. He believed what he said, that God's Word is truth. Oh, dear friend, we have a Bible that has never, ever been refuted in any text by our Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus never refuted any text of the Old Testament. Never did. Oh, he didn't say that's a mistranslation. He never said, oh, we got to correct that. He never did about the Old Testament. Why? Thy word is truth. You know, or a letter of the Hebrew Old Testament. He didn't correct one of the letters of the Hebrew Old Testament. If anybody would have known something was wrong with the Old Testament, it would have been Jesus. He would have known there was something wrong. He corrected people because of their false doctrines. He corrected people when they misinterpreted the scripture, but he never once corrected the scripture. Why? Thy word is truth. Would you be a Caleb? One who wholly follows the Lord? Dear friend, you can't be a Caleb and wholly follow the Lord when you got a Bible full of holes. You can't be one who wholly follows the Lord when, you know what, you have a translation that leaves words out of it. That's why I believe in the King James Bible. I believe God has preserved it. And I believe it's the best translation available. Dear friend, I believe all my heart that if you're going to wholly follow the Lord, you need to take your stand on the truth of the Word of God. Now, how do we stand on the truth of the Word of God? What's the stand we need to take on the truth of the Word of God? Number one, we need to take the stand on the truth of the Word of God concerning getting saved. You know how the Bible says we get saved? It's not through Mary. It's not through baptism. It's not through good life. We get saved through trusting Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary. That's the way we get saved, by His precious blood. There's no other way to get saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is your salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, you're going to take your stand on the truth of the Word of God, then you need to take your stand on the truth of getting saved. You got to get saved the Bible way, and that is to come to Jesus. Secondly, to take your stand on the truth of the Word of God, you need to take the stand on the truth of the Word of God about living the Christian life. To live the Christian life, dear friend, you need a good Bible-believing local church. You can't live the good Christian life without being a part of a local New Testament a Bible-believing church. To have it said of you one day that you wholly follow the Lord, it's going to be because you were a part of God's work. God's plan, God's program for our age is the local New Testament church. And you're going to be in a Bible-believing local church. You're going to be in a church that takes a stand on the Scripture, takes a stand against worldliness, takes a stand against ungodly contemporary music, takes a stand in those areas if you're going to be one who wholly follows the Lord. You need to take your stand on what the Bible says about living the Christian life. It is to be lived with holiness. It's to be lived with godliness. It's to be lived in obedience to the Word of God in a local New Testament church. That's how you take your stand on the truth of the Word of God. There was a pastor that I knew of personally, and this pastor was greatly burdened. He was greatly burdened for his mother. You know, the mother wasn't saved, and she had been wrapped up in Roman Catholic doctrine and Roman Catholic teaching, and this fella had gotten saved, the preacher, but he was greatly burdened for his mother. And so one day, he took her to the Bible, and he showed her from the Bible that the Bible says not to use vain repetitions, Matthew 6:7, when you pray. He showed her from the Bible that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. He showed her from the Bible that we don't need the mass. In Hebrews 9:26, the Bible says Christ died once to put away sin. The mass is the continual sacrificing of Jesus Christ. No, the Bible says He died once to put away sin. And His death was so powerful and so mighty that He could take care of all sin, dying one time on the cross of Calvary. We don't need Him continually dying. The Bible said He died once. And so that preacher took her to those scriptures, his mother to those scriptures. And then he showed her from the scriptures that we are not to have statues and we're not to bow down to them. Exodus 20:4-5. Well, the mother received those scriptures, and one night his mother woke up at 2 a.m. and she couldn't sleep. And so she went to her rosary, but then she remembered the Word of God. Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. She then went to praying to Mary, and she remembered the Word of God, 1 Timothy 2:5, that says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then Hebrews 9:26 came to her mind that we don't need the mass. Christ died once. She got out of bed, and you know what? She got on her knees, and she prayed this prayer. Mary, I love you, I respect you, but you are not my Savior. Jesus is. Dear friend, she took her stand on the truth. She took her stand on the truth as to how to get saved. It's not Mary, it's not the Mass, it's Jesus dying for you on that cross one time, paying the price of all your sin. That's taking your stand on the truth of the Word of God. And she took her stand on the truth in living the Christian life. You know what she did? She left her Catholic church. She left it. She said, they're not teaching Bible truth. They're not teaching Bible doctrine. She left that church. And, you know, she got rid of all her statues. She just got all that stuff out. Why? She took her stand on the truth of the Word of God. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but she said, I want to take my stand on the truth of the Word of God. Folks, there is no way you will ever be a Caleb. When you stand before God, you will never hear God say, this man wholly followed me, this woman wholly followed me, until you take your stand. And you continually take your stand on the truths of the Word of God. It's not just 5 years you're standing on the truth of the Word of God. It's not just 10 years you're standing on the truth of the Word of God. It is a lifetime of standing on the truth of the Word of God. I believe you got a pastor who's Caleb. He's taking his stand on the truth of the Word of God. And I pray he always stay that way. And I want him to pray that I'll stay that way. I thank God for my son. He's taking his stand. I thank God for Jonathan. I thank God for many others who are taking their stand on the truth and Word of God. Oh, I want to be a Caleb. I want to stand and have the Lord say one day, Gary, you wholly followed me. You wholly followed me. All right, secondly, if you're going to hear the Lord say that you wholly followed the Lord, Caleb did. There's something else I find about this man Caleb as to why God would say that about him. First of all, because of his stand. Secondly, because of his heart. Oh, God looks at our hearts, folks. Oh, boy. That's where he looks. He doesn't look at the words you say. He doesn't look at, how you dress. Now, that's important. It's important, your words, your dress. But, you know, when your heart is where it ought to be, you know, your dress is going to be where it ought to be. You know, and your words are going to be where they ought to be. He looks at your heart. That's what he looks at. He looks at your heart. You know, that's what he did with this man, Caleb. Look at verses 7 there and verse 9, 7, the last part of verse 7. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. It was in my heart. Where was the word of God? In his heart. And the Bible says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore in that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Do you know that the name Caleb means dog in Hebrew? Now, you guys who have your name Caleb, you know, don't take that too personally. And when you name your children, you might keep that in mind, that the word Hebrew, the word Caleb means dog. I don't know what it means in English. I haven't looked it up in English. It may not mean that, say, but I just kind of let you know that before you name your child Caleb, you might want to think about that a little bit. You know, it's amazing that parents don't think a lot about the names they give some of their kids. You know, I heard about a lady, she named her daughter, I'm a pig. Her last name was Pig. And she named her daughter, I'm a pig. I just, you know, that's hard to understand. I can't understand how some parents give the names they give to their children. You know, remember, mom and dad, they have to live with that the rest of their life. You don't have to live with it, but they do. But the Bible says his name was Caleb. Now, why would mom and dad of Caleb name their boy Caleb? Well, there could have been two reasons. Number one, because, you know, the word Caleb means dog. Maybe they knew that perhaps Caleb wouldn't mount to much. You know, he was born in a ghetto in Israel. You know, he's in captivity. He's born in the ghetto. And maybe they thought he wasn't ever amount to much. And so they gave him this name that meant dog. Or it might have been this. They might have given that name Caleb because that's what they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be a attack dog and to be aggressive for the Lord, say. And maybe they had a dog that was very faithful. Maybe they had a dog and they thought, boy, let's name our boy the name for dog Caleb, because, you know, we have a faithful dog here. He's so faithful. And that may have been the reason why they named him Caleb, because they wanted a son that would be aggressive and very, very much for the Lord God. Say, and they might have named him Caleb. Well, one thing for sure, Caleb was aggressive for the Lord. One thing for sure, as you look at Caleb, you find him that he was one who got a hold of holy form, the Lord is God, with all his heart. I mean, he just got a hold of it. You know, one time I was at a house and they had one of these little dogs, you know. And this little dog had this sock. And you know how they sometimes give these dogs or their animals a little sock, and you know, the dog will play with the sock, and you know, and so I saw this little sock there and this little dog, and so I went and picked up that sock, and as soon as I did, boy, that little dog came and latched right a hold of that sock. And I tried, man, he was holding on. He was, and you know what, I picked that dog up with that sock, and I went like this, and you know, I went like, man, that old dog stayed right on that sock. He wasn't gonna let go, you know. I mean, he had a heart to hold on to that sock. You know something? Listen, Caleb was a man who really got a hold of following the Lord with all his heart. It wasn't something that was just an emotional feeling that came on him one time and then left. It was something that he said in his heart. He said down inside his heart, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. One thing for sure, anybody can be like Caleb and wholly follow the Lord. You know, Caleb had a name that wasn't in Hebrew. I mean, it meant dog. I mean, anybody can wholly follow the Lord. It's not dependent on your name. It's not dependent on your heredity. It's not dependent on your heritage. Anybody can wholly follow the Lord. You don't have to have a God. I never came from a godly heritage. I always look at people. My son's wife's family, tremendous family. Boy, it'd been nice to have been born into a godly family, but I never was. Hey, it's not based on your heritage. It's not based on your family name, the matter of holy fall Lord. It's not based on your talent. It's not based on your environment. It's based on one thing, having a heart for the Lord that's totally surrendered. A heart that is totally surrendered to whatever God wants you to do. You'll never be a Caleb if you haven't totally surrendered all to Jesus Christ and laid your life totally, completely on the line for the Lord. Never be a Caleb. Caleb was one who was totally, completely surrendered to the Lord. Why does God say so much about Caleb in the Bible? Six times. Six times it says, he wholly followed the Lord. You don't find that said about everybody in the Bible. Six times God said, he wholly followed me. Why? Because God needs some people today. God is looking for young people today. God is looking for church members today who will wholly follow the Lord. Amen. Because you know what? We got a lot of part-timers. We got a lot of half-hearted people. Oh, they're in it with the toe. They're in it with, maybe their five toes, but they don't have both feet in the holy following the Lord. And God knows how much can be done. How much can be done if we could get some people who holy. Thank God for the people in this church who holy follow the Lord. I know there are people in this church who holy follow the Lord. This church wouldn't be here. But there needs to be more. And some of you have dropped away from holy following the Lord. And you need to repent and get back to holy following the Lord. Oh, God is looking for some people to holy follow the Lord. You know, people who holy follow the Lord have a heart like that. They have a heart that's totally surrendered. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, the world is yet to see what one man can do that's totally and completely surrendered to him by his grace. D.L. Moody said, I'll be that man that touched two continents for Jesus Christ. One man. Huh? One man. The apostle Paul was wholly following the Lord, wholly surrendered to follow the Lord. He said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 1:21, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. Philippians 1:20, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul had a heart that was totally surrendered to the Lord. It was a very bleak, cold winter night over in England. And there was a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon who was making his way to his little church. The snow was coming down and blinding him. He could hardly see where he's going. He ducked into a little alley, and he noted down the alley, and never noticed it before, there was a church. He never knew that church was there, and the lights were on, and he was cold, and he didn't know if he could ever make it to the church he was going to. And so he said, I'm going to go down that little church, and I'll go in there. And so he went in there, and boy, there wasn't hardly anybody in there. I mean, there were just a couple people. And, you know, they saw this man, this young man coming in, Charles Spurgeon, and they looked at each other and said, you know, our pastor's not going to be able to make it. He's not here. And, you know, we got to give the message to this guy. I mean, we got to get the gospel to this guy. They didn't have anything prepared. And you know what? One of those guys said, I'll just get up and quote a scripture over and over again. And he got up there and he quoted Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. He went on and say, it doesn't say look unto a church. It doesn't say, look to yourself. It doesn't look, doesn't say anything like that. It says, look unto me, that's Jesus, and be saved. And then he looked right down to Charles Spurgeon sitting down there, and he's about the only buddy sitting there. And the guy looked right at him, right as I said, young man, you need to look to Jesus. You look miserable, and you're going to be miserable all your life, and you'll be miserable in eternity until you look to Jesus. Do you know that night, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived, got saved. He looked at Jesus. That's how you get saved, folks. It's in a look. It's in a look. It's not in a prayer. You know, people pray, and boy, I tell you, I've seen people pray to get saved, and they never had any miracle in their life. There never was any looking to Jesus with the eyes of faith and putting their trust and total dependence on him. And him alone. But that's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon did. He looked at Jesus and he totally depended on the Lord. And about a month after he got saved, he wrote these words. These are the words that he wrote. Listen to them. Oh, great and wonderful God, who knoweth my heart and all my ways, with a humble dependence on the Holy Spirit, I yield up my life to thee as my reasonable sacrifice. I return to thee that which is thine own. I would be forever, unreservedly, perpetually thine. While I'm on the earth, I will serve thee and praise thee forever. Amen. Oh, my friend, there was a man who one day, I believe, will hear the Lord say, you wholly follow me. Why? He totally surrendered. You can do that. You can do that too. Just totally give over. God doesn't need a bunch of gifted people. He just needs a bunch of surrendered people. God doesn't need talent. He just needs surrender. He just needs people who make themselves available and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm available, Lord. Here I am. I tell you what, when I was a young Christian, I didn't know I could ever be a preacher. Man, I was so shy and backward. And I'll never forget the night I surrendered to the Lord. I just went down that aisle and said, Lord, I don't know what you can do through me. I don't know if you can do anything through me, but I don't have a lot to give you. But Lord, I'm just going to give you my all. Here I am. I just totally surrendered to the Lord. And folks, I tell you something every day. I want to just totally surrender. You don't just do it once and that takes care of all. Every single day of your life, you get up and you say, I'm thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it spoke thy love to me. Oh, dear friend, you just lay all on the altar and surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe that this man, Caleb, the reason why God said he's a man that wholly followed me was because of his stand on the truth of the Word of God and because of his heart to surrender all, and then thirdly, because of his willingness to do hard things for God. His willingness to do hard things for God. This man was a man who did some hard things for God. He took a stand against 2 million people that didn't want to go into the land of Canaan. There were 10 spies, you remember? 12 altogether, but 10 spies that didn't want to go in the land of Canaan, and Joshua and Caleb were the only two guys that said, you know, I don't care what you guys are going to do, I'm going to go, and I'm going to obey the Lord, I'm going to go in the land of Canaan. That was hard. You know, it's hard to go against your friends. It's hard to go against your relatives. It's hard to go against the crowd. But you'll never be a Caleb until you're willing to do some hard things for God. Some of you will never be a Caleb because you're not willing to do some hard things. Like get baptized. Maybe it's hard because you're scared of water. You know, like walk down the aisle and get right with God because there's sin there. You'll never be a Caleb when it's hard to walk down an aisle, get right with God when you have to get right with God. Oh, I'll tell you something. We have to do some hard things. Caleb did some hard things. Reason why he did some hard things for God, you know, he conquered a mountain when he was 85 years old. He said, I want to conquer that mountain. You know, my prayer is that God will enable my wife and I to keep on pulling the trailer until I'm 85. Caleb's my hero nowadays. And then, as I mentioned Sunday morning Sunday school, I think I mentioned it, you know, after I get to 85, the Lord lets me have 85 years pulling the trailer, preaching the gospel in churches. You know what? Then I'm going to say, Lord, I'm ready to start a church. I'll probably go back to Spokane, my hometown. You don't have any good Bible reading churches there. I'll probably go back there and see if I can start a church. You know something? That'd be hard to do. But you know, when you're wholly following the Lord, you're not looking for easy street. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion, who aren't willing to take up the cross and pay a price and do some sacrificing there, lose a friend if needs be, because they take their stand for the Lord. Folks, listen, if you're going to wholly follow the Lord, you got to be willing to do some hard things for God. Caleb could do it. You know why? Because he was physically strong. That means I think he ate pretty healthy. I don't think he was a guy that didn't take care of his body. I think he was a guy that was physically strong. I mean, when you're 85 years old and you want to go conquer a mountain and a mountain full of giants, I'll tell you something. He had physical strength and physical stamina. He took care of his body. He was careful how he ate, what he ate. Now, I may be reading that in, but I'll tell you what. I know one thing for sure. You cannot be as old as he was and be feeding yourself on McDonald's all the time. I mean, you've got to take care of yourself. He was spiritually strong. Why was he spiritually strong? Well, the Bible says there in verse number seven, the last part, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. What was in his heart? The word. The word of God was in his heart. He was a man that spent time in the Bible. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Where do you get your strength? Where do you get your strength? To wholly follow the Lord. To do hard things for God. There's only one place you get your strength, folks, right here. In this book. Spending time in it. In the Word of God. People say, are you in Facebook, Brother Gilmore? I said, no. But I am for Facebook. I'm for your face in the book. Putting your eyeballs on this Bible. You know, a lot of Christians, they just fade out the picture. You know why? Because they're teaching that Sunday school class without being in the Word of God. They're going soul winning without being in the Word of God. Folks, you've got to be in the Word of God or you won't have the strength you need to keep on doing the hard things. It's not easy to go out there and knock on doors and talk to people about Jesus. I know that. It's not easy for me to do it. But I know one thing. If I'm in this book, I'll have the strength to do it. And if you're in this book, you have the strength to do it. It's not easy to come out whether like this. I'm totally blessed by folks who have come out in this old weather, all your kids and everything. And you know, I know one thing for sure. That's not going to last very long if you're not in the book. You stop spending time in the Word of God and feasting on it, meditating on it, letting it get a hold of your life. You won't have the strength. You won't have the strength to witness. You won't have the strength to forgive people when they've wronged you. You won't have the strength to fight through something you could be bitter about. You won't have the strength to say, Lord, in the midst of a trial, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. You got a reason for this. Now I'm just going to trust you, and I'm just going to keep going. Just leave it with you. Folks, you won't have the strength without being in the Word of God. That's why this man Caleb was able to do hard things for God. You know, Jesus did hard things for God, didn't he? You know, when you do hard things for God, you're being like Jesus. It's pretty hard for Jesus to leave all the splendors of glory, don't you think? And leave all that he had up there. Lay aside the independent use of his attributes as God. To be born in a little stable in Bethlehem. Amongst all the smell of the barnyard animals. And live 33 homesick years on this earth. Foxes had holes, the birds there had nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And to go to a cross and have all the wickedness of all the world put on his pure, spotless soul must have been pretty hard. I'm glad that he was willing to wholly follow the Lord and do some hard things. And he went to that cross. I'm glad he didn't bail out and say, you know, all the disciples have forsaken me. I'm all alone. I'm glad he didn't bail out. But he said, I'm going to go to that cross. I'm going to do the will of God. I have come to do the will of God, and I'm going to do it. And he committed himself to wholly following the Lord's will. And he said, God, I'm going to go to that cross. And he went to that cross. Where would we be if he had not been totally, wholly following the Lord? Well, we'd be lost on our way to hell. Dear friend, if you're not wholly following the Lord, you know there's going to be somebody who's going to suffer an eternal fiery hell. If you're not wholly following the Lord, I'll guarantee you one thing. You're not going to be concerned about souls. You're not going to be witnessing. You're not going to be going out talking about people. You're not going to be willing to surrender your life and go to some mission field where there is no witness of the gospel whatsoever and give your life over there. You're not going to be willing to do it if you're not wholly following the Lord. You're not going to be willing to do hard things. You see, this man was able to do hard things because he wholly followed the Lord. He had given his heart totally in surrender, and he was able to do hard things for God. You know, one of the men that I'm looking forward to meeting when we get to heaven, Eric Little. How many have ever heard of Eric Little? Eric Little was a runner in the 1924, I believe it was, or 27, I can't remember which, one of those Olympics. We just had the Olympics. And you know, Eric Little was a born-again Christian. And Eric Little had a dad that was a missionary in China. And Eric Little's dad said, Eric, don't compromise. Don't compromise. You're running. You are gifted to run. And he was. He was fast. He was fast for his age. He was really fast. And his dad said, don't compromise, Eric. You're running. Don't compromise it. And compromise your convictions to run. Don't do it. He said, compromise is the language of the devil. And I believe it is. It's a devil's language. Compromise. And you know, he went off to those Olympics. And he was going to run in the 100-yard dash. He probably would have won it. But you know, as he's getting on the ship, all of a sudden someone says, Mr. Little, how you think you're going to do in the heat on Sunday that you'll be running in? And he stopped in his tracks. You see, Eric Little believed the Lord's Day was the Lord's Day. Whatever happened to that in America? People shop. I mean, the biggest shopping day in the whole wide world is Sunday anymore. But Eric Little, he was convicted about being in the Lord's Day in the house of God. He said, that's the Lord's Day. That's the Lord's Day. And you know, he had to make a hard decision. Was he going to forfeit running the 100-yard dash and getting a gold medal because of his conviction not to run. It was the Lord's day. And not to run on the Lord's day? Was he going to do that? You know what Eric Little did? He did something hard. He told the committee, I can't run. I can't run. That's the Lord's day. It belongs to him. You know? And he didn't run. But, you know, it so happened that one of the fellows on the team from England came in and said, listen, Eric, I've already run a race. Why don't you run the 400-yard dash? Eric Little had never run that. He was a 100-yard dash guy. He had never run the 400-yard dash. And Eric Little decided he would. He wasn't on the Lord's Day. He decided he would. And do you know what? Eric Little won that 400-yard dash. God blessed him because he said, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. I'm going to put Bible principle and Bible truth ahead of any benefits that I might receive in compromising those Bible truths. Eric Little, do you know that just before he got out there to run that 400-yard dash, a guy from the U.S. team came up with a scrap of piece of paper and he handed it to him. And Eric Little opened it up, and you know what it said? It said, he that honors God, God will honor. And you know something? When you are willing to do the hard things to honor God, God will honor you. Amen. God's nobody's debtor. God will honor you when you're willing to do hard things for him. What's a hard thing that you need to do for him? Do you need to go get right with someone? What's the hard thing you need to do tonight? Listen, to be a Caleb, you've got to be willing to do some hard things for God. Do you know that Eric Little went over to China? He went over to China, and you know, during World War II, the Japanese took over, and he was in a concentration camp, and he died in that concentration camp. And do you know that Eric Little, when he was there, they called him, the people of China called him, the little Jesus. The little Jesus. He was so much in love with Jesus Christ. It just showed out of him. And you know, when he was dying, and just before the end of World War II, Winston Churchill gave a part, or gave an opportunity for him to come home made an arrangement for him to come home. And when Eric Little knew that, he said, listen, this is where I'm to be. He said, I don't want to leave. This is where God wants me to be. There's a pregnant lady here and she needs some help. Let her take my place. And that pregnant lady went home. Eric Little stayed there and he died there in that prison. And all Scotland mourned when Eric Little died. Do you know why Eric Little was such a great man? Because he was willing to do some hard things for God. Are you going to be a Caleb? You've got to be willing to do some hard things for God. And you'll never do it if you're not spending time in this book. If you're not hearing the preaching of the Word of God, you'll never spend time in the Word of God. You'll never have the strength to do hard things for God. You know something? I believe with all my heart. That's why Caleb was a man who God says, wholly follow him because of his stand on truth, because of his heart for surrender, because of his willingness to do hard things for God, and lastly, because of his belief. You see, everything about Canaan was big. I mean, it was big. They had big walls, big giants, big cities. Everything about it was overwhelmingly big, you see. And, you know, this man Caleb, he had a big God. He had a God that was bigger than all the big things in the land of Canaan. He had a big God. Caleb was like David. David had a big God when he went against Goliath. I mean, what chance did he have against this mighty, mighty giant? He had a big God. That's why he went against that big giant. He had a big God. You know, I think we get all wrong about David and Goliath. I think we get all wrong, especially the world gets all wrong. You know, I like this time of the year when the NCAA basketball tournament's about ready to begin. I get excited about that. We always make our picks, you know, and see who comes out on top and all that kind of thing. And I always get excited. And you know, the reason why I get excited, because I can't wait to see who the Cinderella team that's going to come along and knock off a great big old Duke or knock off some Wisconsin team. Oh, excuse me. Shouldn't say that. I'm all excited to say, who's going to be that little team, you know, that Butler that's going to come along and make it all the way to the championship game, you know? And then, you know, when that happens, you always hear these radio announcers saying this, David slew Goliath today. This little team, you know, slew this great big Goliath team. These announcers will say, we get it all wrong. It wasn't David. It wasn't David who was the underdog. Goliath was the underdog, not David. The reason why is because David had a big God. And listen, when you got a big God, you're never underdog. Oh, I tell you something. He had a big God. And David, he went out against Goliath. And God gave him a mighty, mighty miracle and victory. So with Caleb. Caleb didn't care what the problems were. Caleb didn't care what the circumstances were. Caleb didn't care how hard it was. He had a God that was bigger than all. Let me ask you something. How big is your God? Is he big enough to take care of your needs when you tithe? Is your God big enough as you yield yourself to him that he can supply your every need? How big is your God? Every pastor tonight needs some Caleb-like people. Every home needs some Caleb-like dads. Every church needs some Caleb-like people. Will you be like Caleb? Will you be like Caleb? That's the question. You know, years ago, the story told of a missionary in India. And this missionary was very discouraged and things weren't going too well. And he was thinking about coming home. And he sees one of the Indian people with this lady that's got twins. And back in those days, if you had twins over in India, you were to sacrifice one of them to the crocodile god. And so this missionary, you know, he sees this lady going down towards the Ganges River. She's got twins. And he looks at these twins. He sees the twins and he sees one has a look of death all over it. Just yellowish, greenish. Looks like it's going to die any minute. And he kind of consoles himself into thinking, well, she'll take that baby and throw it to the crocodile god. So he stands there to watch it all. And that Indian lady goes down to the Ganges River. She lays down one of those twins and she takes the one twin that she's going to sacrifice to the crocodile god because that was part of their religion. And she looks at that child. She hugs it to her breast. And then she kisses it, and she takes that child, and she throws him into the Ganges River. Immediately, the crocodiles come, and one gulp, baby's gone. The lady just stands there and looks for a few minutes. And then she turns around, picks up, you know, she picked up her baby. She lay down there, and she picks up that baby, and she starts coming up. This missionary's watched the whole thing. And, you know, he, thinking that, she certainly has thrown that baby's got the look of death all over. And you know, as he's standing there, all of a sudden, here comes this lady up towards him. Do you know what? She didn't have the healthy child in her arms. Because that was the one she threw in the Ganges River. She had the one that was scraggly and skinny, had the look of death all over. The missionary, he's overwhelmed. It just doesn't make sense to him. And so he goes to the lady and says, ma'am, excuse me, but I watched you and I've been amazed that you threw the healthy child into the river and you got the one that's going to die. Why would you ever do that? And that lady looked at that missionary and she said these words. She said, I don't know about your God, but my God deserves such a sacrifice. Folks, I don't know about the Jesus that died on the cross for you. I don't know about the God who sent his only begotten son to die for you. But I tell you what, The God that sent his only son to die for me and the Jesus who went to that cross and died for me on that cross at Calvary is worthy of me wholly following him. Are you wholly following the Lord? Are you? Or are you holding back? You got a few toes in the water, but you're holding back. You haven't really. Maybe you've gotten away. What needs to change, Dad, for you to wholly follow the Lord? What needs to change, Mom? What needs to change, teenager, for you to wholly follow the Lord? God is hungering for those who will wholly follow the Lord. Would you be one? Would you come down and get on your knees tonight and say, God, by your grace, I want to wholly follow you. I want to wholly follow you. Maybe you get back to wholly following the Lord. You've drifted away from him. Once you were. Hey, that can happen. There's times in my life when I've had to get down and say, Lord, I've been drifting a little bit here. Lord, I need to get back to wholly following you. Do you need to do that tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray you'll take these truths tonight from the life of one of your great men in the Bible. And I pray that we would want to be like him. There's a lot of people in the Bible we certainly shouldn't be like. But here's someone we ought to want to be like. Lord, give us some Calebs in our churches. Give us some Calebs in our homes. Some moms and dads who are going to wholly follow the Lord. Give us some teenagers, Lord, in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, who wholly want to follow you. Lord, just work in hearts tonight. Whatever needs to change, maybe someone needs to get saved. They take their stand the truth of getting saved. It's not by a church. It's not by their good life. It's not by what they do. It's what Jesus has done, and totally depending on that, what Jesus did in that cross, totally, completely trusting in him. That's how you take your stand, the truth. Lord, there are some who have never taken that stand. I pray they might want to take that stand tonight. I pray for Christians who have taken that stand, but they're not living the way they ought to be living. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll bring them back to living the way they ought to be living. And Lord, we pray that there might be some people who want to give their hearts wholly in surrender to you tonight. Help us, Lord, to do some hard things tonight. To walk down this aisle. It's not easy in front of all our friends and people we know. But Lord, help us be willing to do a hard thing. Walk down this aisle and get right with God. Lord, help us be willing to do a hard thing. To go soul winning, to get on the phone, talk to someone that we need to get right with. Help us to do a hard thing, Lord. Put you first. Put you above relatives and friends and put you ahead of everything else. Lord, help us to be willing to do some hard things for you. And then, Lord, give us a big God. Help our eyes to be on the big God that we have, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Lord, give us some Calebs. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. No one's looking around. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're going to sing a great song of invitation in your psalm book in just a moment. But I want to ask this question tonight. How many would say this, preacher? I know for sure if I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven and not tell. I know that for sure. I know for sure. I can give you a Bible reason why I know it. If you know that for sure and you can give me a Bible reason why you know it for sure, would you lift up that hand right where you're seated high? Just say, preacher, I know for sure. All right, thank you so much. I looked out across the crowd. I couldn't see everybody. But I wonder if there's someone here tonight and say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. You know why you don't know that for sure? Because you've never taken your stand on the truth of the Bible as to how to be saved. When you take your stand on the truth of the Bible, you will know 100% for sure. How many would say, preacher, I would like to take my stand, the truth of how to get saved tonight. I would like to come to Jesus Christ and totally put my dependence upon him to save my wicked, hell-bound soul for all eternity. I want to do that tonight. And here's my hand. Would you lift it up and for prayer, just lift up high wherever you're seated and say, preacher, I want to take that stand on the truth of the Bible as to how to get saved. I want to come to Jesus and totally put my trust in him for my soul salvation. Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand quickly? Anybody like that across the building? Just lift up high and then take her back down. Any place, anywhere. Just lift it up. All right, let's all stand, please. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. No one's looking around. Her heads are bowed, her eyes are closed. We're going to sing this great song, Invitation Night. Number 394, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Would you surrender all to Him tonight? Would you deal with the hard thing that you've been leaving undone and undealt with? Would you make some difficult decisions tonight that you've been holding back making? Would you be willing to do some hard things? Would you commit yourself to being a Caleb and holy for the Lord? Maybe you need to get back to it. I don't know what it is, but if God's speaking your heart and there's a decision you need to make, when we start singing the song, you just come right down and make this platform an altar prayer and get things certain in your life about you're going to heaven, if you're not certain about that, and all commit yourself to holy following the Lord. Would you do it? Father, we preach your word. We preached, Lord, we believe you want us to. And I pray that you would just use it in our hearts and our lives tonight. Oh, give this church some more Calebs, Lord. Oh, I thank God for the ones who are here. They've helped this pastor continue. And Lord, but we need to see their number increased. And we need more Calebs in our churches. We need more Caleb young people. The school here needs some Caleb young people who will wholly follow you, Lord. And I just pray you'll work a work in people's lives and hearts tonight. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Number 394, as we sing this song, if God's spoken your heart in any way, would you come and make that decision that you need to make for the Lord tonight? As we sing, you come right now. Oh.